Breaking news into the Streamcast world. It is here. The thing everyone's been talking about. The talk of the town. The live wire big name big thing happening this week. It's a brand new Chat Pack podcast here on twitch.tv/chat_pack. The dynamic trio of diabolical, bowel-busting, big-time booming guys is here to talk about this, that, and the other thing like we do every week here on twitch.tv/chat_pack. I am one of your hosts, Paul Holden, joined by my illustrious duo of co-hosts. I got Caleb Cole over there looking a little confused, didn't know quite where that was going to go, but hey, Caleb.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little shell-shocked. That was great. Were you planning on doing that the whole time? You didn't say anything about it.
It came to me right before that we started, and then once I lost it, I just went right into the usual rigmarole. That's Caleb. We're also joined by the man who makes the whole show happen, Trevor Heim.
Whose bowels are we busting, and what does that mean?
Well, he's got the bowel buster.
Yeah, if anyone's busting bowels out of the three of us, we know who's busting bowels here.
Although,
chat back.
I if I have Chipotle
insult,
I'm just saying. You represent that?
Oh, instead of resent that. You're so funny, Trevor. You're so funny.
Guys,
this guy.
Jokes aren't as funny when you call attention to the joke, but that's okay.
Or are they more funny when you call attention to
the joke? It depends on the delivery. We probably missed the mark on that one.
No, I think we nailed the delivery.
If you get it in under 15 minutes, the delivery's free.
I just wanted to make note for the people who are watching the video that I discovered while I was waiting for Paul to get here that if I blow air into my upper lip, it makes my mustache look like old-timey. Like, look at this. Look how big it
is. Literally nothing happened. Literally nothing happened.
My mustache looks so much bigger. It looks like
my
a porn
mustache
stash.
Brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
Did you guys ever used to do that thing where you like you pretend to like blow a balloon up in class, and you'd like look down, and you'd be like, you know, and then teacher would be like, who has a balloon? Because people would pop balloons.
I don't know.
Where the fuck did you guys go? No, absolutely not.
We went
what are
to
you talking about?
The
you
most suburban place you could go
and then
to high school.
People were popping balloons in class? No, there's no balloon popping in class.
People definitely, okay, people pop balloons in class. They'd like blow up a balloon and pop it, just be like, I'm a distraction.
Literally never has that happened. Had that happened to me.
You also got to wear hats in school, didn't you?
In high school, yes.
What?
Man, how did you learn
anything?
I'm
not even allowed to wear a hat at work.
You were,
you know,
yeah,
I've
weren't
been
you
fighting
distracted?
The, you know, this anti-hat crusade that just was started by whoever is so lame. If God damn it, if I want to wear my hat inside, I'm going to wear my hat inside.
It's almost oppressive. I agree. It's like, because almost. I agree with you, like when I
making
have
making us wear masks. You know?
Okay. No, oh, I don't want to get into that one.
Wear your mask.
When you have a certain length of hair, I'm talking about my own hair. Like I don't do the hair gel thing. I'm not gonna wake up every day and like wash my hair and do hair gel. You wear a hat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't see the problem with that.
I mean,
all it does
just,
is prevent hair from getting in people's food.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes you just wear a hat every day from freshman year of high school on. And it just becomes part
of
your identity.
Wait, Trevor, why? They won't let you wear hats? Is that like a Mormon thing? Like, not making a joke. Is that actually like a... They have a bunch of weird rules.
Yeah, a business thing.
I don't know if it's like a Mormon thing. We just... My workplace...
For professionalism?
Yeah, we're like... what do you call it? Business casual dress wear most days. We get casual Friday, but casual Friday is like jeans and a t-shirt. So we pretty much always have to wear pants and you can't wear hats. And that's just like... Business professional environment, I guess. I don't know.
Boo.
It's kind of
yeah,
lame.
It seems lame to me.
Fucking suits.
But I've been working from home for 4 months now, so I barely even wear pants. Like, I hardly even shower anymore.
You should,
honestly,
you know,
I find great solace in the daily shower. It feels very nice to take it. Almost, I don't shower every day, but most days. I shower 5 days a week.
It's not good for your skin to shower every single day, right?
I'm usually showering about 5 days a week.
I agree with you on that, Paul. In the summer, almost every day because I'm a sweaty boy.
See, that's the thing. Like being
and
down here,
my
man,
bike a
though,
lot.
It's like I can't. Like I just notice myself if I don't shower, especially till the end of the day. Like it just gets.
You
to
notice
like 8
yourself,
o'clock.
Or you smell yourself.
I mean, I notice how bad I smell. Like you know, fair. Give the old. You'll whiff. So
see, I've got that.
I don't even have to lift the arm.
I've got that desert right dry heat, so I don't really have to deal with any of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be moving, Paul. I've lived my whole life in the swamp that is Ohio, and then I'm moving basically to the second most wet place that I, or the wettest place I could go. Right. The Pacific Northwest is very
like
wet.
It's I feel like it's different. I don't know. At least when I was there, because I don't feel like it gets like as hot there. I think I have no idea.
It's like super temperate. Like,
yeah, I don't think you're going to get a lot of like 90 degree, 90% humidity. Like,
is an Olympic National Park like the only temperate rainforest in North America?
Probably.
It's like I think that's a thing, which I'm assuming means it has to be humid because that's.
I'm not saying humidity isn't there.
Yeah. But at least. Well, but they do have the coastal winds.
But like Ava's telling me, like people don't really even have ACs. Like a lot of people don't have ACs. It's not like a standard thing out there.
That sounds really nice.
My aunt
sounds nice.
My aunt lived in Portland for several years, and when she moved back to Ohio, she had to buy a winter coat because she didn't even own a winter coat anymore.
Yeah, it's more of like proper rain gear.
Yeah,
like stuff that can dry quickly and things like that. I feel like is the more important stuff. I had something, but I think I spaced out on it. Anyway,
great job, Paul.
You can catch the podcast on Spotify and all your favorite streaming services, thanks to our friends at Anchor. You can also follow along with us on Instagram at Chatpack Live and on Twitter, Chatpack Live as well. And please drop us a follow here on Twitch or on any of those so you can stay up to date with all the things that we do. Caleb was streaming a little bit today. How'd that go?
That was a blast. I was it's no secret that I really like Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls.
Sovakin.
Almost, but moving on from that. That's pretty much the vigor that I was playing an orc and he just it's like Fus Hrona! You know, it's like a huge gap between there. But I started trying out mods. I don't know. Have you guys messed around with mods in games like Skyrim before? Like a big open world? It's pretty incredible how much work people put into stuff and how well they do. Like, there was like immersive armor, immersive weapons. And so they not only change the style of the weapons, like they don't change the stats. So it doesn't change the actual technical gameplay, but they changed. It was basically just like a dagger. Like I think it was like the iron dagger or the steel dagger. They changed to, you guys know what a dirk is? It's like
a little blade.
It's kind of like a dagger. Yeah, it's like a little bit longer. I think it's like shorter than a short sword, but supposed to be longer than a knife. So it's like another little sidearm. But there's a Japanese version of the dirk that I can't remember what it's called, but they put that in the game. And then they like replaced like the two-handed pole, one of the two-handed pole arms with like a two-handed spear that wasn't in the game before. So there's some of that stuff. But then they also like just like little quality of life improvements. Like the map in Skyrim is notoriously bad because there's no roads, which if like canonically, if you have a map, like I'd say the main reason you have a map is for navigation, right? The only reason. And like roads are pretty important in that. And for some reason they didn't put it in there. I don't understand that.
On like the map, like when you go into like the kind of the start menu, like the actual map, or are you talking about
the world map?
Yeah.
Not the mini map. Yeah. Like the world map, you open it up and all you see is mountains and landscape. And like you see the cities like labeled, but there's no roads, which is like, you know, I'm not going to complain about Skyrim.
That's probably why I always end up like jumping my way up a giant cliff trying to get to some city because I have no idea where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
that's
just
Bethesda
like, why?
Bethesda in a nutshell, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bethesda, like,
I do that in Fallout.
I think people like to complain about Bethesda because, like, they have so many, like actually today while I was streaming, I was streaming with my buddy Ian. You guys know Dylan Dimideros, his cousin, Ian. Or not cousin. Wow. Brain flub. His brother. Twin. His twin, identical twin brother. Yeah, Ian.
Two brothers.
And he was playing Skyrim, so I happened to start streaming. And he was just like watching me play, and he's like, No, I don't think that glitched. Like, I think you're dumb. Like, I think you just haven't found the key, like, for this trap door. And then, like, I, like, Googled it because I was like, I can't find it. And apparently, like, I killed these two guards, and the guards were both supposed to have a copy of the key. And whoops, just wasn't there. And I found out that it's because I, there's a book that you're supposed to pick up. And if you pick up the book before you release the prisoner you're supposed to pick up, or release, then the key won't drop. You have to release the prisoner first, then pick up the book. And it's like, it's just a weird, weird glitch, you know?
Yeah, some funky stuff like that I remember happening in Fallout for sure.
Yeah, but overall, you asked me how Skyrim went. It was awesome. And messing with mods in that game, I couldn't suggest more. Like, and now that I've done that in that game, I'm going to be looking a lot more any single player games that I've played, like, because you can get fucking lightsabers in Skyrim.
Yeah.
Like, you can, not only that, like, you can get wings and you can fly, and they, like, add, like, an animation, and they allow you to fly, and, like, there's, like, flapping, like, and not only looks like you can fly, but apparently it feels like you can fly.
Quick shout out to, speaking of mods, the Outer Rim mod for Blade and Sorcery. You get all the lightsabers and Jedi powers in Blade and Sorcery in VR. It is awesome.
I remember you telling me about that.
I thought you were going to say Outer Wilds.
Outer Rim. Best Star Wars game for sure on VR. Actually, I haven't played any Star Wars games, but...
Wait, hold on. Can somebody... Outer Rim, what is that game?
You played it at his house, didn't you? I feel like we talked about this on the show.
No, the Star Wars mod for Blade and Sorcery is called the Outer Rim, because that's like what... In Star Wars, like, sorry, the Outer Rim is like the planets outside the Republic or whatever.
So that's pretty cool.
You play?
No, I didn't play the Outer Rim. I had played Blade and Sorcery
with the Outer Rim mod. Oh my gosh!
I thought, but it doesn't. Okay, the way you were saying it, I thought that there was like a story and stuff, because what I played, there wasn't.
It was just like, it just adds all the lightsabers and the Star Wars stuff to it, but it's called the Outer Rim.
That, because that game would be sick if there was a story.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it's also just fun to mess around with.
Kind of like No Man's Sky. Like, it's like a sandbox.
You guys interested in that new Star Wars game that's coming out where Squadrons, where it's all dogfighting, all with like the planes and shit, or the fighters and stuff? That's the whole point of the game.
I mean, anything that you fly a plane and it's dogfighting, I'm in. Like, did you guys ever play?
Have you seen anything about Star Wars Squadrons then?
Nothing.
You should look it up then. It's probably right up your alley.
That also has VR support, which is going to be so crazy.
Yeah, full VR really support. Nauseating. Like, you'll be right in the cockpit and shit. Like, you're right. If you can play VR and you can hang, it'll be cool. But yeah, for those people that get sick, there's just no fucking way.
What was that Star Wars game that, it just came out recently, and it's like you play a Jedi and you're like
Fallen Order.
Yeah, the Fallen Order. That's,
I have it. I never got into it. It's on my backlog. I started.
Wait, do you have it on your Xbox?
I have it here.
I'm coming over tonight, and I'm gonna start playing it.
Psych. We're playing other games, or I'm playing fucking Last of Us, dude. By the way, going back to our conversation, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm in, very in, and enjoying myself immensely. Yeah, I'm enjoying myself immensely.
Are you gonna enjoy yourself when you get your ass beat in Mario Baseball tonight?
Couldn't even beat Steve, dude.
What? I crushed Steve. It was a shutout. It was like
familiar.
12-0.
That Rogue Squadron game.
He swung
game?
At so many bad pitches. Yeah, go for it.
Is that what's
Trevor?
Is that what's called Rogue Squadron?
I think Rogue Squadron is a different one. I think it is. It is just Star Wars Squadrons. Like Squadrons, I think is what the name of the game.
Well, anyways,
it's cool though because you get the single player modes too with them, and you get to play on both sides, which I think will be cool.
No, did you guys ever play? I think it was called Blazing Angels.
No. Oh, I know it's the original Xbox game. I know what you're talking about, though. Or Crimson Sky. Oh, is that maybe what you're
thinking? No. Blazing Angels. It was a Wii game. I don't know. I'm sure it was for other platforms, but it was like World War II dogfighting planes.
Blazing Angels Squadrons of World War II?
That sounds right.
On the Wii?
I played it on the Wii, but that game was such a blast. At least it was when I was, 12.
No, I was going to say, growing up, I had Star Wars X-Wing Fighter on the Sega 32X, which was pretty, honestly, a pretty bad game, but it was, I got to fly an X-Wing, and it was, you know, it took advantage of the intense 32X extra powered graphics cartridge, whatever. So to see that, like that trailer get released for this new Star Wars Squadron game where it has full VR support, and to see like that happen in such a short period in my lifetime, like, I'm really stoked to try it out. Like, it's pretty crazy.
The game looks gorgeous, too.
I mean,
stuff they've shown, the game looks very fucking good. Very cool. It looks cool, but I just know I am not. Like, I can't do the flying in Battlefront 2. Like, I'm very intrigued by it, and, like, it's definitely worth a try, but for me, I just don't think it's going to just be something that it's going to be super enjoyable for me, because I feel like every time I dogfight in, like, Battlefront 2, I'm flying way the hell off to God knows where. I don't know what up is down and down is up and all that stuff, so I don't know. I don't know if it'll be for me, but I'm excited to. I got to at least try it. I definitely want to at least see what, and it's coming out soon.
It's funny how your strengths are in video games. Like, you're definitely not bad at video games. Let me preface it with that. But you are so bad at certain parts of video games that it's so funny. Like, I've watched you try to snipe people in games, and, like, it looks like I just handed the controller to my dad. Yeah, but then you'll play with a shotgun, and you crush. It's so funny. Like, how you have such, like, you know? Like that.
Yeah,
like,
no, I can run, like, Apex is a perfect example. I will never pick up a sniper in Apex. Like, it is just not worth it. But you give me that.
I'm so the opposite. I will never pick up a shotgun.
You throw me an SMG or like a rifle or something where I can like run and gun, get close and run around with people and stuff. I mean, that's way more my attitude. I was good at sniping in one game, and that was Team Fortress 2 on the Xbox, not PC either. So it was playing on the orange box. So there was already
Just to update everybody, your boy made gold, and he's on his way to platinum. I'm just saying.
Damn! The season ends in like 2 days, so good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna make it there by this season, but I think I should start next season in gold, right? Is that how that works? There's no way I start from silver again. That would be horrendously dumb.
Apex is still my favorite battle royale, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I haven't played
Warzone.
What are
you playing these days? Are you playing anything?
Yeah, you should talk about Warzone and your experience with it.
Dude, I've played a little bit of Warzone. No, mostly, like, lately I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart 8, actually. I've been trying to get that 200cc trophies, and 200cc is just kicking my butt. But we already...
200? Wait, 200 or 150?
No, they're in 8, they added 200. It's a full... It's a whole nother. Like,
they had 150 plus, right, in Mario Kart 7?
No, it's mirror mode.
Mirror mode is
the kind of plus, because it's 150cc, but then you go backwards. But yeah, this one is like you have to brake and stuff to like really effectively turn, or else especially if you're playing like the later cups, you're coasting. Like, you ain't going anywhere.
Well, I'll be honest, we've collected like all the trophies and stars and stuff for like, what is it, 50cc, 100cc. And 150cc, but I'll be honest, I have not played the mirror mode just because the mirror mode pisses me off. And so I went to 200cc, and 200cc, dude, Yoshi's just kicking my ass for no reason in particular. Like, I don't know why. Every single race, Yoshi's just destroying me.
Because Yoshi's the GOAT. You should be playing Yoshi.
Dude, I always play Lakitu, for the most part. But
this is a big point.
What?
Hold on, Trevor, can I ask something?
Sure.
So everybody has, well, most people have their Mario games, like, just in general, character of choice. Paul's is, I think, Mario. Mine is Yoshi, for sure. Do you have one?
Are we talking
like you're playing Mario Golf? Like, you're playing Mario Golf, you're playing Mario Kart, like, if you have a choice.
Not the modern.
I feel like the best one is, like, Mario Party. Like, I think that's like a good one of.
But because the modern ones have way more. I'm talking about like GameCube and forward.
Like old school.
Or 64 and forward.
See, because like, so with Mario Kart 8, I always would play Shy Guy. And then just recently, I started playing Lakitu.
Good choice.
Just because I think Lakitu is hilarious. And like, when you fall off, like, you're pulling yourself up onto the track, which I don't know why. I just think that's funny. But no, in the older Mario games, though, I almost always would play like one of the Koopas, like Koopa Troopa or something, or Paratroopa, like the red and the green turtles. I don't know why.
Leave Trevor to be an oddball out.
I think I'm just so hipster that I'm like, I don't want to be one of the main characters. I want to be one of the random, because like, I could play any Mario game and play as Mario. So like, when I get the chance to play as freaking Shy Guy or Lakitu or something, like, I'm gonna take
Shy Guy's one of the coolest Mario characters too.
Dude, and also every time when you
Mario baseball players,
when you pass someone in Mario Kart and he's like, bah, 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 and then you're just like, yeah, like,
he's also just awesome. Like, he's kind of
dynamite third baseman too.
Yeah, every time I get him, I put him at third. I just, yeah, you just do. Third, yeah, he's so good.
He bats third and he plays third, dude. I put him.
I'm
going to
go out there and say that there's other people who have better technical skill, but Shy Guy has the best instincts. Mm-hmm. He knows where to be.
I'm going to be honest, though. I didn't exactly grow up playing Nintendo games. Like, I was like a PS2 kid. Well, I had my Sega, and then I was like a PS2 kid, and then I got an Xbox. And so I wasn't like a huge, I didn't grow up playing Nintendo games, but I will say I've really enjoyed the latest Mario Kart, and it honestly makes me miss Double Dash. I think Double Dash might be the best Mario Kart.
So good. I agree. Like, when it comes to like playability with friends, like when you have like a friend on the back and you're driving and like they can like hit people and steal the stuff, I have the most fun playing Double Dash. Yeah.
Well, and the Double Dash battle mode was just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember that.
There's a lot of great things about Double Dash. And I like the different combos of people, and you can do the different specials. And I think the track design and the look of the game is really cool. But I'm not going to lie, man. I think Mario Kart 8 is like Mario Kart perfection. Like, I think a lot of it, I think the game handles great. I think the variety of carts is cool. I think the big roster is cool, except for there's some dumb character additions. We don't need three versions of Mario. How is Captain Falcon not in the game? There are two F-Zero tracks. The Blue Falcon is a thing.
Captain Falcon's not in the Mario world.
But Link is in it. You can be Link.
Wait,
you can
what?
Be Isabelle. Yeah. You can be the Animal Crossing villager. You can be the Splatoon Inklings.
I didn't
like,
know all that. That's travesty.
Here's my thing.
That's adding.
I heard
too
this
much.
on my Kinda Funny podcast, Trevor, and I'm curious what you think about this. The next Mario Kart, instead of it being Mario Kart, do Nintendo Kart, and then you just go to different Nintendo worlds and different things, and you get to be so many. You know,
oh, like
all
you
can
race on the F-Zero track.
I mean, you can in Mario Kart 8. There's two. Oh. That's what I'm saying. There's two, and there's a sign of Captain Falcon on the thing. He's there saying, "Show me your moves."
You heard it here first. There's been no teasers. There's been no leaks. We're calling it Nintendo Kart 2022.
I heard it on the Kind of Funny.
I also just want to say, F-Zero GX on GameCube was one of my favorite games, and I would love if they either brought F-Zero GX to Switch, or if they brought a new F-Zero to Switch. Like, I just want F-Zero again, because that is such a cool game.
Seriously,
and it's crazy that it's not there. Like, I think now, especially with the Switch, it's at least got to be in the works of something, even if it's like. Like, I guess would you rather a new F-Zero, or would you rather the rumors of GameCube games coming to Switch remastered? What would you, do you have a preference? Do you think you'd have a preference there?
I mean,
ooh, honestly, really, I think GX is like, just put that on the Switch with a little updated stuff. I think that'd be tight.
Dude, GX is so rad. Like, if they announced it, I would buy it for sure.
And if in remastered games, I wish that it would be more of a trend. Like, they often do a, just a buff of graphics and like textures and skins and everything, but I wish that they would more often like turn to buff physics, because the physics of games have developed a lot. And like, I don't mean like an overhaul. Like, I don't mean that at all. I just mean like fixes, like changes. Yeah. Like, if they, like, for example, Mario Baseball, last night we were like trying to problem solve on how you switch characters, which like we kind of discovered that like to some extent you kind of can't. Like, in certain situations, like, there's not a dedicated button.
In the way that we found out, or think we found out, it's definitely not the most effective way.
At all.
Especially when
it's really dumb.
Yeah. Especially like in that game when there are buttons not even being used, like
hitting
left
Z.
Trigger or something.
Or yeah,
or, yeah, none or of Z those or something like that.
Z, left trigger, right tapping. Trigger. I think B. No, B is bunt.
Well, B's being used when you're in the field because that's sprint.
Oh, yeah, that is sprint. But like it's all of the C stick, all of the D pad, none of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just like there should definitely be a mm-hmm. simple way to mm-hmm. do that. And I totally get that. It's just that fine line. I think a lot of people, like when you're making a remaster, you have to walk of, this is the game you know and love, but here's that fresh coat of paint. But I think it is important to bring those quality of life things because like, we played GoldenEye on the N64 the other day, and it's just like, ooh, like that game is just not that fun to play in 2020.
It's old.
And I think the way that you do it is like, you know, those Halo remastered games that have been coming out, like you can go in the settings and you can switch to the classic Duke controller
exactly.
settings and
right.
give it
yeah.
the garbage
yes.
graphics and whatever. And you're like, all right, this option. Is the Halo that I remember. But if you want the updates and you want the like newer, you know, stuff that the gaming industry has now, you have that too.
Yeah, and that's a great, great point. I don't think there's any remaster collection of games better. I mean, and I know it has its like shortcomings, but the Master Chief Collection in 2020 is literally worth having Game Pass for. It is worth to pay $15 a month so you can play the Master Chief Collection on top of everything else. Like if you're not just buying Master Chief Collection solely as well. Like man. It's crazy that I still think it's crazy it exists. Did you see the tease, Trevor, of Infinite?
I did, but I haven't played a lot of Halo Wars, so I didn't really get
they're
the
brutes.
Gravity of it. Yeah.
They're brutes. That's like I think that's the big thing to remember
the
is
are
they're
coming
not
back.
Just it's not just the fucking robot bionicle guys. Because I need to go back and actually play Halo 5.
The Forerunner,
I've beaten 4.
Paul. The Forerunners.
Forerunner, whatever the fuck. Way lame. They're not as cool. Like
the Forerunners were
cool.
Toyota
Forerunner? Did they just put a Toyota Forerunner in there?
Yeah. It's actually
they basically
instead
put
of the
like
Warthog.
The protectors of the ring, like another like the
it's
ancient
an
race of like Halo
SUV.
Or something. But
body
I gotta go
on
play
frame
Halo
design.
5. I wanna play that story
Dude.
Mode. That's the one Halo I haven't beaten is Halo 5.
The
multiplayer Halo 5 was tight though.
The Master Chief Collection on PC, they've been test flighting the Halo 3 launch, and I've been
Sweet.
Playing in the test flight. And it just takes me back. I love Halo 3, man.
Dude, the best part of Master Chief Collection is just flipping between 2 and 3. Because
oh,
then you get
so
like
good.
The more like fast-paced, like kind of competitive nature of 2. But then you just get just the... 3 is just the most fun. And that's totally nostalgia speaking for
oh, yeah.
me. Because I just like... Again, we've talked about this before. But for the three of us, like few games were as big as Halo 3. Like that, like at least when we were early, like... There's just no way that like I can think of like Grand Theft Auto 5 maybe being like close to the scale of like every person I knew was playing it
yeah.
at that point. But
what about Modern Warfare 2? That was a big one.
Yeah, that
was a big
that's,
one
that's a great point. That's a
everybody
great point.
Everybody played
Warfare
that in
2.
High school.
But
also
yeah, because
Modern Warfare 2 got Hans Zimmer to do the soundtrack, which is crazy to me. For the single player,
they're
like,
remastering the campaign what? For you can play the remastered campaign or something. I think it's either out or soon or it's part
I remember
of
the, liking
the same
campaign.
With the Call of Duty 4 remaster because they already did 4 remastered and I think you can do some online with 4. But to my knowledge, they're just remastering the campaign of Modern Warfare 2, not the online.
Which
some
of the
dumb.
Campaigns for those are underrated. Like
if
I'm not a huge
been,
Call of
oh,
Duty
dude.
Fan.
If
but
you've been
Black
missing
Ops
out
1?
On someone yelling Ramirez, do this, Ramirez, do that. It's coming back.
Oh, wait. What, wasn't it Rucker?
Black Ops.
Oh, it was Ramirez.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different... So, I just remember that one of the Call of Duty games is like a guy... You play a character named Rucker. And me and Adam Betancourt, my buddy, we just always make fun of that because it was just like, holy shit, this Rucker guy must be a fucking superhuman. They're like, Rucker, hack into this mainframe and disable all the turrets, you know? And it's like, how? Okay. And then they're like, Rucker, jump out of this plane and shoot a grenade launcher at this other plane perfectly timed and put it through the window so it only kills the people in the back and not the pilot because the people in the middle need to stay alive. It's like, what the fuck kind of training has Rucker gone through that he's just doing this insane shit, threading a needle in the air after he jumps out of a helicopter from 10,000 feet in the air? It's ridiculous. They put too
yeah,
much
no,
pressure
going,
on Rocker.
Going to your point, though, I would say Modern Warfare, Black Ops, and Modern Warfare 2, like those are top top-notch Call of Duty campaigns. I haven't played much past Black Ops 2's stuff, so I don't know about the other ones, but I know the new Call of Duty's campaign was supposed to be good because it was like a hard look at war or something. But then you can still use white phosphorus and a bunch of other shit that like isn't in real war.
Yikes.
You lost me.
It was supposed to show more. The whole thing was like when they showed this Call of Duty, it was supposed to be like the campaign was about to show like how like fucked up war is supposed to be instead of it being like
glorified.
Washington, D.C. is under attack and here we're going to go run through and do all this crazy shit and blah, blah, blah. But
dude, I don't think I will ever forget the first time I played Gillies in the Mist, though, on the
permission.
That level was crazy. Such a great, so good.
Yeah. A lot of video game talk, but that leads in perfectly to our topic for today, actually. And Trevor, you came up with this one, so I'm gonna let you take the helm here.
So basically, the question arose of, could video game skills help you to land a career and or job? So, you know, yes. Can
I'm
is
assuming
that
we're
going to
take out getting
about?
A job in games. You know,
oh, yeah.
Your skills in video games could lead to, you know, being a professional esports player or something like that.
Oh, yeah, but we're turning outside, that away, right?
Outside the realm.
Just any other job not in the video game industry, like, Is it okay now to bring up video game skills in an interview or perhaps on a resume or something? Like, can that be applied?
Well, that's a different question.
Yeah,
that's
an interesting
a very different
wrinkle
question.
Caleb, you want to go first?
I do, because I want to make sure. So, just for the overarching, before we actually get into it, so. Could video game skills help you get a job? I believe, yeah, for sure. Should you advertise skills gained from video games to get a job? Abso-fucking-no.
So how does the skills help you get the job if you're not utilizing it?
I think it's because of the prejudice. Not because it's not like... Because honestly, I think it's warranted. Like, if I could put... on a resume, like my experience in the Smash community, which like, I guess to some experience, like the organization that I did for tournaments, I would honestly put on a resume. Like, because that was like organization of like 150 plus people, the money that they bring in, I got snacks for it, like, you know, and like provided that, like I used the money from the venue fees to do all that. And then I paid out to certain TOs, tournament organizers, who like helped, like I gave small stipends to them, and like, you know, that part, like, yeah, I would put on a resume. Yeah. But like, if I could put like my like semi-professional, at one point might have called myself a professional Smash player, on a resume, like I think that honestly, like that shows a crazy amount of commitment and time. But because of the prejudice of video games, that especially people in hiring positions, which are generally older people, they have that bit of prejudice that I think it wouldn't quite work out. But there's definitely like in like especially a game like Smash or any game that you dedicate an insane amount of time to, there's a grind. And that grind is so real in the work community too, or like in work life. Like you have to do a bunch of work on a project that like you feel like you're not going anywhere, and some people might get burnt out. But you know, if you have even like a World of Warcraft account and you grind and grind and grind and you get like level 120, the max level, and you get a certain eye level, your item level in the game, like you have to grind, you have to spend hours getting that gear. I mean, that seems applicable to me because it's not necessarily fun getting that. Like, that's not why you play it. Like, the end game content, having it is fun, and what you can do once you have it is fun. But, like, you have to put in all these hours of what seems like useless work in order to get there. And, like, that's kind of working, right? Like, you work for hours on stuff that isn't really fun, but you need the money and the resources so that you can do things that are fun. And that's, to me, that's a very similar thing.
I think you brought up some good points, Trevor, and Caleb. I wanted to say Caleb, and then I, you know,
he just couldn't stop looking at my face.
I know. It's the lack of facial hair that keeps disappointing me. I think you bring up some good points because I feel like I agree with Caleb. And yes, there are some things about video game skills that can transfer over. Maybe not so much something to put on a resume, but on the flip, I think it would be a creative and good thing to maybe do in an interview. And I think Caleb brings up good points. There's a lot to, if you're organizing and establishing a professional community or an event, I think that's an important thing to be like, hey, you need, you know, how would you be able to, you know, maybe set up an event with marketers or clients or things like that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can be like, well, in my local community, I set up a Super Smash Brothers tournament and reached out to people all across the region and provided them with the information and things to come here. I gathered the money. I did fundraising. I partnered with a local, you know, in Caleb's case, a local church to give us a venue for this thing.
Well,
I
and think more than that, you that have to find chairs. You have to find power, like power strips, and you have to make sure that the circuits in that building will provide enough power for literally hundreds of TVs, you know, or like, oh, near 100. Yes. Like, there's a lot of planning.
Well, yeah, so those logistics and then just the logistics of, you know, we're charging for this event. We're managing these monies. We're managing the funds. And, you know, say it's, part of the money's going to charity. So we made sure that this amount was allocated to paying for the charity, but on top of paying the church a little bit of money for helping out with their, you know, using their power and things like that. So I think something like that is definitely a valuable thing. Skills learned in video games themselves, I think, can add maybe some small things. I think with you, people that play on PC, getting very familiar with the ins and outs of how a keyboard works, and then you're very good at being able to, just navigate and use a keyboard while looking at a screen, especially, I think would be something, you know, beneficial for if you're able to know your macros in a game, you know, your league shit of always, you know, hitting your buttons and how it's kind of like close to being able to be like, all right, I only use keyboard commands and I can, you know, increase my workflow by, you know, 5 minutes because I'm not sitting there using the mouse to click and drag and drop. You know, Kayla, you two will be able to use a computer faster than me because you guys know all the keyboard commands where I'm still, you know, right clicking.
So and, much faster.
You know,
Paul.
Clicking on,
get on, the game.
On those things. And, you know, so I think those things can transfer into the workplace, but. And I think also, too, like if you were going to go into something creative, the stories and the experiences that you love for video or love from video games or the gameplay or things can add to your creative project. If you're making a movie, making instrumental music to do, you know, to go along with something, I think you can pick up off things from video games. But yeah, I think it would be more of like a cool creative answer to use in an interview versus like, hey, I'm platinum in Apex Legends, and I'm going to put that on my resume.
Well, and if you can
spin it
right, you can kind of use anything, right? But like, I think that the idea is like, do skills from video games actually help you? And especially in like story games, man. Like, I mean, I've been playing video games. We all have from a very young age. Like, I remember one of my first like memories that I can really, really coherently like gather is me playing Zelda, like the original Zelda, and it was Link to the Past. Sorry. Zelda 3, technically, if we want to go there. And I named my character Caleb 5 because I don't know why I didn't just name it Caleb, but I named it Caleb 5 because I was like, I'm 5 years old. Like, and I just and that's a young age for like to be playing like a game like Zelda. Like, and I learned the word island. Like, I kept on reading it. It was in the Monsters, Inc. video game. And I asked my mom, I was like, what's an island? And she's like, that's island. Like, that's how you spell island. And I was like, why is there an S? And she was like, I don't know. Spelling's fucking stupid. Caleb, grow up.
To this day, I only know what the meaning of a stalemate, because in Gears of War, it was always a stalemate when you tied.
Yeah, and see like that, like
I was like, why else would I know?
Quick shout out, quick throwback to mentioning Gears of War.
Gears of War might
about,
not be the best example for children learning. To be honest,
you what, chainsaw guns and fucking curb stomping? It's not the best.
But like certain
thing.
Story but games, like really, honestly, like improve the level of literacy that kids have. They really, it's just like reading a book. Honestly, like there's so much dialogue and such high level of reading.
I mean, I am not lying when I say this. The character Three Dog in Fallout is a radio host, and he legitimately inspired me to be in radio, because what his role was in that world was so cool to me. And it's just like, I could, you know, obviously it's not the capital waste, but like that idea of like being someone that, like, you know, that people turn to for information or to tell stories or to uplift them or to, you know, do something like that, I think was
Power
something
105
that
was kind of the capital waste. Important to me. I mean,
legit had probably the best business meeting in my few years of working there today. But I just wanted to give a quick throwback to the earlier in the show. Caleb, you mentioned mods. I played Fallout 3 on the PC when I was really into it. And the first mod that I installed was making my character be able to look like Marcus Fenix from Gears of War and have a Lancer. And I remember just running around in Fallout like with the Lancer and like running around in my full Marcus Fenix armor there. But so I again, Trevor, going back to your topic, I think that'd be something really interesting because I think nowadays, bye, Caleb. He just clicked in the wrong, I don't know where he went, but I think like I said, that there's so much that involves video games today that it has evolved just from playing games with your friends or playing in the basement, that like if you take those steps up to the next level, like you can do things. I mean, the Smash Club here, one of the people and Jeff worked, I mean, they worked hand in hand with the university, and now OU has an esports team, an official esports program, are in the Mid-American Conference for esports. I don't know exactly what sports, you know, esports they're all in. I know, I think Overwatch is at least
League of Legends.
But like, you know, League of Legends. But like,
that's,
you know, our buddy Jeff,
one.
he was on the background, you know, at least in helping lay the foundation for that too. So I think that stuff is an important thing for that can definitely be useful or helpful in a job situation. But the skills you learn from games themselves, I'm not 100% sure if they transfer fully, but honestly, for someone like you in web design, or again, using a computer and the keyboard all the time, I think those skills, as kind of ridiculous as that may sound, are very important and can really help the workflow and the work process.
Well, and it's funny, like when I originally thought of this question, I was thinking like, you know, hand-eye coordination or like inventory management or something, like does that transfer to like a real job or a career? But
I mean, that
you guys
too?
Bring up a really interesting point with like being a part of the community, because I feel like people who get into like get really, really into like a certain game to the point that they're getting into like, you know, downloading mods or even creating mods or just being super involved in the community in some way, shape or form. Like, yeah, that really opens the door to like development and, you know, maybe web
design,
maybe game design, like just tons and tons of things like that can branch off from that, like being involved in working on a mod or something like that, or being involved in the community. So like you bring up a great point of like that stuff really is applicable, and like you don't necessarily have to be like, well, I was obsessed with this game and that's what led me to X thing, but you can talk about X thing and how, like, you know, like with Caleb, like organizing and developing that that community, and like,
which,
you know,
maybe that's a little
that.
Unfair because that's not like a video game thing, you know, like it's an event that surrounds around video games, but, you know,
but like, well, if it I weren't mean, but, for but the video back, game, you wouldn't have probably gotten involved in that, you know, like why else would you have become an event planner or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, why else would you plan? But actually, you know, a good point too with that, Trevor, is in the Melee community, these guys just went in and built a whole new net code in the emulated version of for the online play of Melee through like the Dolphin, like, so, or whatever the fuck it is, but like these people went into Melee.
Paul tried to describe how they coded an online Melee. It's hilarious.
Yeah, they basically they went into Melee and they fucking added multiplayer, online matchmaking. Wait. Multiplayer, like this new netcode is like having people able to, you know, the net play for Melee used to be very limited to how far away you were from people and your internet, but now, dude, they got people from Sweden are playing, people in the US, and they're saying it's the same thing as a CRT, you know, so they are creating that. And with Melee players, lag is the biggest fucking deal in the whole goddamn world because you can't do anything, which is understandable. I just like to poke fun a little bit, but it's like they are creating an, you know, these people, well, totally on their own volition, went in and built this very good version of online Melee for a game that's been out since 2001.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, impressive. So it's like that is something you could definitely go into a web, you know, your coding job or whatever those things be like, we literally have united the world of Melee through internet because we went in there and were able to write successful enough code and
but I think that's a little outside the realm of the question, to be fair. Like, because it's all for a video game, but like that's clearly not
a skill.
It's not just playing the video. We're talking about playing the video game and like how those skills, because no, you're right. Like, that's amazing. That's those people are incredible.
Like, if that's not your resume booster thing, like you're just wasting your time. That's an amazing project to go on and like, if that's not something you're actually bringing up in an interview, that's selling yourself short.
Unless your job is to like trade stocks or something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that playing said, video though, games, like I even found myself. Go ahead, Trev. Sorry.
I was going to make a really dumb joke. I was going to say, that being said, I all of my playing Fallout and picking locks has led me to a great burglary career.
Yeah, it's so silly. You just put the bobby pin in there and then you twist it with the screwdriver. That's all you need to do.
Did anybody else try that, though? For real?
My comedic timing was spoiled by the internet video chat. Anyways.
There were definitely a couple times where, like, I tried lockpicking, but the only time I was ever successful with it was Trevor, actually, when we all three of us lived together in Athens. Trevor came to me and was like, hey, I don't know why, like, you seem like you would like trying this. Like, I have this padlock, or maybe you didn't, you said you had this padlock that you couldn't, like, you lost the number for the a long time ago. And I was like, maybe I offered or you asked me, I don't know how it happened, but I watched a couple videos and, like, you turn it back and forth a certain way, and it's surprisingly fucking easy to figure out a padlock's number. Like, it very easy. Like, I watch the video, and then, like, you turn it like three times a certain way, and then you turn it until you feel the slightest bit of resistance, and then you do it the other way, and once you feel the resistance, you do it the other way, and then you pull it and it's unlocked. I mean, it is, those things are not safe. Get a key. You got something you need to protect, get a key. It has nothing to do with video games. Sorry. I just got really into that.
I mean, that's an integral part of, like, Fallout and Skyrim. And
I was going to say, though, a point that I had thought of a little bit ago when you were talking about, like, what you thought this conversation was going to be with hand-eye coordination and blah, 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 and video games. That's actually something that I had, no joke, thought about was I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, but I'm moving out to Seattle with Paul here soon. Yay, it'll be fun. But
you guys are taking a big step together. I'm proud of you.
I know. It's going to be, you know, we're getting our first together. We're just ready. Us two. But
then he wants to get month to month, by the way, and he can't even give me a full year. Talk about commitment issues.
But what, come on, Caleb. What if it doesn't work out? For real, though. I've been applying for all these jobs in the cannabis industry, like, you know, from anything from retail to
the
grower.
Weed.
So there's a lot of there's selling it, which is like to me the lowest position, and then there's trimming, which is almost tied, and then there's growing, and of course I want the growing position because I want to be the highest position I possibly
plant
can be.
Biology major.
In the trimming,
purple potatoes. I am a nerd.
Hey, Paul said it right. Anthocyanin.
What?
Anthocyanin is the pigment that turns blueberries blue, and it's an antioxidant. It's pretty good for you. And
purple potatoes, of all things, you go to blueberries? You didn't even talk about your purple potato project? You did all that work talking about purple potatoes?
Because then I have to explain the purple potato thing.
Purple potatoes. It's the purple potatoes.
There's also purple tomatoes.
Purple potatoes.
Are you done?
Mama.
Both of you? Anyway, I was going to say that hand-eye coordination is like a big thing in certain, like, the jobs I've been looking at trimming. So it's like you literally get like a bud and you have to trim off the leaves, but then you also have to kind of cut down the meatiness of it, like, because there's some leaves that, like, are part of the bud, but they kind of hang off like this. So it's like and you need to cut it off so it looks like this, right? So for those audio listeners, like, I'm making a fist with my fingers sticking out just like one digit, and then I'm closing the fist so that, like, they're, you know, it's a nice smooth surface. But that hand-eye coordination, like, I honestly considered putting stuff in like Smash or like Guitar Hero, because it's like the idea of, like, looking at something, knowing what it's supposed to be, and doing it over and over and over and over again, and not stopping, and like being okay with the absolute like drone like repetition of something, but the monotony. Maintaining
yeah,
a high.
Trevor got it.
Yeah, the monotony, but also maintaining a certain level of quality. Because if you don't maintain that quality, then you know you're not useful to the company, and like people.
Right.
I think people who play video games like in that vein, like. If you're playing World of Warcraft and grinding out levels, if you're playing Guitar Hero and trying to get like this one song at the hardest difficulty over and over again, like you have that zeal for something like that. Like, and honestly, to me as an employer, like if somebody like intelligently wrote out why they thought that their Guitar Hero experience would benefit them in a job, like if it was something like that where it's relevant, like, fuck yeah. Like if you can write about it and you can tell me why you think that it makes sense to put this job experience or this life experience, I guess, for
experience.
The what?
I'm just saying experience in general.
Yeah, like that experience playing a video game, why it's relevant, then I mean, more power to you. I think that, you know, but if you go out and you say like, yeah, like I, you know, Platinum and Apex Legends. It's like, of course, that's going to be stupid. You know, it's just going to be like saying, like, I delivered 8 pizzas per hour in my shift. It's like, yeah, that's not going to make any sense. I'm never going, I have no idea if that's a lot of pizzas or a few pizzas, you know?
You should. You got to
do, I mean, the employee history. You know, if I'm this, yeah, 8 pizzas an hour, it depends on how many pizzas is in each order. You know, 8 locations an hour? Wow, you're fucking fast. And also probably breaking the law a lot. Flying. Because that you are
or your pizza place is just crushing it. I mean, you guys are you're just popping out pizzas real fast.
And it's like
you're hitting 8 places
and it's
hour,
like a quarter mile to every
and you
location.
Live in Athens County and you only go like you only go a mile.
That's
like
not true. They made us go way the fuck out in Athens. That was some bullshit.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
I will say
that
though,
shitty
like,
ass car that you had.
It leaked.
I feel like part of this is like an interesting part of this is like the stigma around video games and like the people who play video games. Cause I feel like if that started, well, and it already is kind of fading like in our culture and our society, I guess. But like if I was interviewing someone for a job and it was a job that was like, I don't know, extremely technical, extremely detailed, and there's like a lot of moving parts to it or something like that. And as I was talking to the person, they like casually mentioned that like one of their favorite games that they play all the time is like EVE Online. I'd be like, holy shit, this dude really gets
perfect
like
person.
Economics and some crazy stuff like that. You know, like EVE Online is the most like ridiculously complex
nerdy
game.
Shit ever.
Yeah. So like, I think once a stigma starts to kind of go away, like
wasn't
people
that the
would be
first
more comfortable
MMO?
Bringing up like stuff like that. Oh, I don't know. I know that the economy in EVE Online has a real impact on the global economy in real life because that's how complex the game is and how like popular
my buddy from work tried to get me to play that game and he's like, oh, you can build these ships and it's all real time. And I was like, that sounds horrible.
Dude, that game like, is ridiculous.
That sounds like a snoozer. But no, I think it's a cool creative question, like idea to like try to approach that to a job thing. I think that's a really cool creative idea. But yeah, no, maybe. So there you go. If you guys got some good video game skills, maybe apply that to your next job. You never know. Because I think employers appreciate some creativity, too, in the job searching process. But you guys got any closing thoughts on that? Anything like that to add here before we get ready to wind down the show?
That video games are good for you. To an extent, there are certain games that
play video games.
Yeah, but
everything's good
also
in moderation.
The outside world is a very important place to experience in your life, and that if you just play World of Warcraft all day,
the sun goes down eventually.
The sun does go down eventually, but like you know, I know people who they get off work, they play video games until they go to bed. They get up, they go back to work, they come home, they play video games till they go to bed. That's no bueno. Like. There's a healthy amount of anything. Just like, honestly, like reading's important, but if you get off work and you read all the time, you know, until you go to work and that, or until you go to bed and then you wake up and go to work and do that again, that's not good. You need some variety.
Get some
variety. That wasn't much of a closing thought, honestly.
I will counter Caleb's closing thought with this closing thought, which is,
go for it.
The outside world is a scary and hellish place right now. So if you want to play video games all day, then play video games all day.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask. There is Paul.
Yeah, we're
close us out.
We're gonna get ready to wind things down here at the Chat Pack Podcast. Thank you all so much for joining us here at twitch.tv/chat_pack. That's where you can find us if we play some games during the week. That's where you can find our live recording of the podcast, which is usually up in the air. Unfortunately, we'll try to hammer down some times, but working nights doesn't really help out the whole recording schedule thing. Anyway,
wait. Hold on,
but before
hold on.
We go, Caleb's recommendation. Yes. We have to have
Thank
Caleb's
you.
Recommendation
Thank you
of
for
the
remembering.
Podcast.
I was just going to say that.
I got
Thank
you.
Thank you. My recommendation.
Yeah, no, I was waiting.
My recommendation this week is Nexus Mod Platforms. It's a, it's basically a giant platform. It's like a standalone program that you can. Oh shoot! Wait. Wait. Yeah, I think it's called Nexus. I think the website's called Nexus, and I think it's also called Nexus. Maybe it's a. Basically, go to Nexus Mods, type that into Google, find out whatever the standalone program is. It organizes all of your mods, and it's not just for Skyrim, it's for a bunch of different games. And it's only $2.99 a month to go premium. You can just get 1 month, download a bunch of mods, and then you don't need premium anymore. And anyways, you should also, like, I guess my recommendation really is to pay for things that people work really hard for. Like mods, like I know they seem like they should be free because it's like I bought the game, you know, it's just an add-on, but like people throw hundreds of hours into these things, and if I threw hundreds of hours into something and just posted it online, like I'd probably charge at least a buck or two. So I think that's fair. So pay for your shit, get the Nexus Mods standalone program and buy it, you know, pay the monthly fee.
Pretty good advice, but usually solid recommendations usually come with actually knowing the thing that your recommendation is for.
Don't close out yet.
Okay, great. Thanks for lowering the camera right into your crotch here.
Well,
that's
I gotta open
very
up.
Helpful.
This
I'm
is
glad
my
that
MacBook
you needed to do that.
That we're on. See, we can.
It's
can
great
turn
that
it around.
The
audio
room. Listeners
so why did
don't
you need
have mobile. The audio okay. listeners don't there have to be go. Subjected to this, but
yeah. Anyway, Trevor, anything on your end before we close out the show?
I don't know what happened. I think I turned on my...
Don't listen to Caleb's recommendation and go listen to some of our other previous episodes.
Yeah, go check out the podcast on Spotify. Oh, I have exciting news actually on my end.
Wait.
I'm going to work on it more, but I
Vortex.
Got...
Vortex Mods. That's what it's called. Go to Vortex.
Oh, there we go. So what I was saying...
This recommendation
was
paid for by Vortex Mods.
Now you know.
I talked to our friends at Anchor, the people that distribute our podcast, and I have Groovy Soup on Spotify and Google Podcasts and Pocket Cast now. So I'm going to put the whole full archive up as soon as I can.
Wow, that is such
so
a big archive.
Some Ohio bands.
That is going to take so
That's
long.
Awesome. Yeah, but I got to
do
it.
You got to
do
it.
Now that it's on there,
damn,
I got to do it.
That's going to take a long time.
Yeah, I got... 80-something episodes to do, which will be fun. But anyway, this has been the Chat Pack Podcast. Each week, the three of us gather around to talk about this, that, and the other thing. You can follow along with us on Instagram and Twitter at Chat Pack Live. We also, like I said, we record this podcast every week, popping in and out with some streams every now and then. I play a little Apex. Caleb is streaming some Skyrim, maybe playing around with some more
and
mods
if you
here later
really
on.
How
Caleb
to play
and I
Apex,
are going to
watch me stream Apex. Don't watch Paul.
Well, you have to stream it first. So, anyway, have some fun, play some video games, wear a mask, please. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And until the next time you check out Chat Pack content, we will catch you on the flippity flip.